Mom, me, Yena, with whom, Agre, formerly, Vichacharita, you consulted, Ha, certainly. Translation. The Brahmana inquired as follows. Who are you? Whose wife or daughter are you? Who is the man lying there? It appears you are lamenting for this dead body. Don't you recognize me? I am your eternal friend. You may remember that many times in the past you have consulted me. Say after me. The Brahmana inquired as follows. Who are you? Whose wife or daughter are you? Who is the man lying here? It appears you are lamenting for this dead body. Don't you recognize me? I am your eternal friend. You may remember that many times in the past you have consulted me. Srila Prabhupada's purport. When a person's relative dies, renunciation is automatically visible. Consultation with the Supersoul, seated within everyone's heart, is possible only when one is completely free from the contamination of material attachment. One who is sincere and pure gets an opportunity to consult with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Paramatma feature sitting within everyone's heart. The Paramatma is always the Chaitya Guru, the spiritual master within, and he comes before one externally as the instructor and initiator spiritual master. The Lord can reside within the heart, and he can also come out before a person and give him instructions. Thus, the spiritual master is not different from the Supersoul sitting within the heart. An uncontaminated soul or living entity can get a chance to meet the Paramatma face to face. Just as one gets a chance to consult with the Paramatma within his heart, one also gets a chance to see him actually situated before him. Then one can take instructions from the Supersoul directly. This is the duty of the pure devotee, to see the bona fide spiritual master and consult with the Supersoul within the heart. When the Brahmana asked the woman who the man lying on the floor was, she answered that he was her spiritual master, and that she was perplexed about what to do in his absence. At such a time, the Supersoul immediately appears, provided the devotee is purified in heart by following the directions of the spiritual master. A sincere devotee who follows the instructions of the spiritual master certainly gets direct instructions from his heart from the Supersoul. Thus, a sincere devotee is always helped directly and indirectly by the spiritual master and the Supersoul. This is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Guru Krishna Prasade Bhaya Bhakti Lata Bija. If the devotee serves his spiritual master sincerely, Krishna automatically becomes pleased. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasadaha. By satisfying the spiritual master, one automatically satisfies Krishna. Thus, the devotee becomes enriched by both the spiritual master and Krishna. The Supersoul is eternally the friend of the living entity and always remains with him. The Supersoul has always been ready to help the living entity even before the creation of this material world. It is therefore stated here, yenagre vichacharita. The word agre means before the creation. Thus the Supersoul had been accompanying the living entity since before the creation. So the translation again. The Brahmana inquired as follows, "Who are you? Whose wife or daughter are you? Who is the man lying here? It appears you are lamenting for this dead body. Don't you recognize me? I am your eternal friend. You may remember that many times in the past you have consulted me." So here in the allegory, the appearance of this, the old friend of the queen, who in the last life was King Puranjana, at the time of the death of her husband or the spiritual master, this Brahmana represents the Supersoul. And so here we are given instructions about how it is that we can come into contact with and take direction from, receive intelligence from Krishna in the form of the Supersoul or Chaitya Guru. So that requires, first point, that requires renunciation. So Prabhupada said, when a person's relative dies, renunciation is automatically visible. Do you see that? They have to renounce. There's no question about it. And if they're a little reflective, they can understand, at least for a little bit of time, what kind of place this material world is, that today my relative has died, and I can understand actually that every day all over the world millions of relatives are dying, and that actually all relatives are going to die and we're all going to die, and that all this dying is a cause of my suffering because I'm trying to cling to what is temporary. So people then at that time, they have a tendency toward renunciation. Of course, they don't know what to hang on to other than material things and material relationships. So very quickly, after a little enlightenment, they can fall back down into illusion. They usually do fall back into illusion. But here that renunciation is an important point in this verse because, Prabhupada says, this shows how consultation with the Supersoul seated within everyone's heart is possible. Only when one is completely free from the contamination of material attachment. It's the constitutional position of the living entity to receive dictation. It is dharma. Everyone is servant of Krishna. And dharma, the word dharma, means that by which a thing is what it is. The dharma of sugar is to be sweet. The dharma of fire is to be hot. This is the meaning of dharma. It comes from a Sanskrit verbal root, dri, that which supports or sustains. So it denotes the essential quality of something. You take it away and it's not that thing anymore. So the dharma of the living entity is to serve Krishna. That is of the tiny jiva souls. This is the dharma. So something that is an artificial imposition, something that you can take up or leave off, is not dharma. So although dharma is translated as religion, if you can change, what you can change, or what you can adjust, is not really dharma. Dharma is inescapable. So our proposal, our proposition is the dharma of the living entity is to serve Krishna. Another Sanskrit word is used in the same connection, almost synonymous with dharma, is swarup, jivera swarup. His eternally nitya Krishna das, his swarup, his essential feature, his proper form, is to serve Krishna. So that's the dharma, so you can't change it. So this means, to be servant of Krishna means always to be acting under the control of a higher power. To be dictated to all the time. So in that sense, we have no freedom. We have no freedom not to be controlled by Krishna. What position is available not to be controlled by Krishna? If Krishna is the absolute truth, who has the position not to be controlled by Krishna? Krishna himself. Period. Everything else is controlled by Krishna. That's what it means when we say Krishna is the absolute truth. So, of course, the sinful desire of the living entity is precisely not to be controlled by Krishna. The aboriginal Isha and Dvesha, the primordial sinful will of the living entity, is the desire to become the Lord. We come into this material world, Krishna says, covered by the dualities of desire and hate. And the first desire is, why can't I be God? And the first hate is, why should Krishna be God? So therefore, we come here to avoid this, our constitutional position. This is the falsity, the false position of a living entity in the material world, is they don't want to be what they are. Well, I should say we don't want to be what we are, which is servant of Krishna. We're in rebellion against our own essential nature. This is the condition of really being deeply messed up when we're in that kind of state, because you're not going to be able to accomplish anything. Of course, we now have modern philosophies which says you have no nature. This proceeds on this along these lines of rebellion. Anybody know what the philosophies are called that says you have no nature? No. Existentialism, modern philosophy, modern form, existentialism. We have no essence, we only have existence. You can be anything that you want to be. It's in our wills that we are what we are. I can make myself over into whatever I want to be. So that's the old project of the sinful living entity, and his real thing he wants to make himself over into is God. So, but this constitutional position of being essentially the servant, it can't be changed because it is essential. It's the essence of the living entity. And so, therefore, we remain under bondage or under the dictation of a higher power. Only when we are in the state of rebellion, state of resistance to recognizing our own servitude to Krishna, desiring to take his position, we come under the control of what's called Krishna's external potency. And that's from which we receive dictation. We're being dictated to under the external potency by the modes of goodness, the modes of passion, and the modes of ignorance. And according to those modes, we're being carried along. And we're forced to act according to the direction of those modes. Being impelled, they color our thinking, our feeling, our willing, our outlook on life, as the extensive descriptions are there in the Bhagavad Gita, exactly how everything that we do under the modes of nature is colored in a certain way. What kind of food we're attracted to, what kind of entities we worship, what kind of renunciation we perform, and so on and so on and so on and so on. All of this according to the modes of material nature. And In this way, we become controlled. Of course, the interesting thing about the being under the control of the modes of material nature is there's the illusion possible that you're not being controlled. That's that the Krishna is invisible. He disappears. Or else he moves into the far background. If you're in the mode of goodness, you perceive him as a distant background figure, not certainly in the immediate foreground of your life. But otherwise, it's possible to believe in the modes of nature that there's some separate arrangement for your enjoyment. People in the mode of goodness, they believe in God, but that he has set it up for their enjoyment separately from him. Usually they approach demigods anyway, rather than Krishna directly. Because again, the idea is to avoid too much direct connection. Because once you get in direct connection with Krishna, the overwhelming feeling comes over you that I have to serve, and that's all. And so one wants to avoid that. You keep your distance by worshipping intermediary agents. And so anyway, this is the living entity under the control. So dictated to. So the condition of being dictated to by the material energy and being controlled by the material energy is symptomized by the condition of having material attachments. So in this way, we're under the control of the external potency. By having material attachments, we're under the control of the external potency. Now, when somehow or other we decide to put an end to this affair and to are willing to come to our senses, our original senses, and return to Krishna, that return is effected by changing how we are being dictated to. As soon as we want to change, Krishna sends another dictator to tell us what to do. That's the spiritual master. When we really are ready to say to Krishna, yes, I want to serve you, so long I've been avoiding this, now I give up. I want to surrender to you. There's no profit in this lust and greed and anger in the material world. I see I'm not getting anywhere. This is actually a condition. This so-called freedom in the material world is worse bondage. In Paradise Lost, Milton has Satan say, better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven. So that attitude may persist for a long time, but ultimately hell is hell and heaven is heaven. So gradually, after so many years of instruction, a living entity may change the mind. So then I have to get into be controlled by Krishna in another way, and that's called the internal potency. The external potency hides Krishna, but the internal potency reveals Krishna. In both cases, I'm controlled by Krishna, but in the external potency, I'm being controlled indirectly and unfavorably, but in the internal potency, that control is now direct and favorable. But first of all, in order to get hooked up to the internal potency, Krishna sends somebody who can tell us what to do. That's the spiritual master. And he has his order, his rule, his vidhi. We use the word vidhi, vidhi bhakti. So there's a Sanskrit grammatical case called vidhi lin, which is the case of Vedic injunctions. Mm. It has, in English, is words like you ought to do this, you ought to do that. You are obliged to do this, you are obliged to do that. But lay down your obligation, these injunctions. So the spiritual master gives us his rule. We accept him. We accept the spiritual master. We accept him as our dictator. That's what we say, as good as God. And so we accept him as the dictator to tell us what to do. You are the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, tell me what is your order. And we receive that order from the spiritual master. We accept it. And when we follow that order and act on that order, we are in the internal potency. So it's a question of there has to be a motive for all our activities. And all our our activities are being dictated to us by some desire, some impetus, some pushing. So where does the pushing come from? If my action is being given to me, the impetus for my action comes from the order of the spiritual master, then I am not acting under the control of the external potency. I get transferred over into the internal potency. That way I'm connected with Krishna. But if my actions are being dictated by material desires in order for me to preserve or perpetuate or increase my material attachments, then I'm under the control of the external potency. That's our situation. So our realm of freedom is we get to choose how we want to be controlled by Krishna. The freedom not to be controlled by Krishna, that we don't have. But the question how we want to be controlled, just like the example is there, that citizens of a state must obey the government. Nobody has the freedom not to obey the government. But you can choose how you want to obey the government. There are two kinds of citizens. There are free citizens, and then there are convicted criminals in the jails. Both of them are obeying the government. But one obeys one way, by force, behind bars, with guards, with guns, in a very unfavorable way. And of course, they're saying, their condition is, I don't have to hell with the government, I can do what I want. They're the ones that don't accept the government, so by force they have to accept. And the free citizens, they're also following. But they're following voluntarily, so their life is full of so many privileges. They don't have to be locked in a cage every night, for example. So this material world is the prison house in the kingdom of God. We're here. One reason Vaikuntha or Krishna Loka is so nice is that everybody who would create a disruption is here. Just like if the state is efficient, all the criminals are locked up, you know, you don't have to lock your doors at night and you can walk safely on the streets and everything like it's nice. When the criminals are running around loose, then no, everybody's living a hellish existence, as we know. Just recently when I was in Detroit, one devotee lady had to move from her apartment. She was being robbed all the time. And the guys who were robbing her lived right across the street. And they were watching. So she started to move, you know, got a truck down there and a trailer and stuff. And they came out and didn't want her to get away because they weren't finished robbing her house, you know. So Adiraj, the temple president, had to come out there and with a loaded shotgun sit there until she was moved to protect her from these guys. This is in the middle of a city. You know, this guy, and it wasn't. No, this wasn't Oklahoma Territory in 1840. You know, I mean, this was Detroit. I mean, so it becomes hellish. So one reason Vaikuntha is so nice is all the rascals are here. They don't create disturbance. So the condition is there that we have to serve Krishna. And so this is how to stay into connection with Krishna. First of all, Prabhupada is saying that when the super soul, from a very long time, even before the creation, he's always accompanied the living entity for his welfare. Jaya Radha Shara Bihari. He's already accompanying the living entity for his welfare and is ready to take charge. This is what happens in the process of devotional service, actually, as we become more and more absorbed in Krishna consciousness through strictly following the order of the spiritual master. The Lord takes charge. Prabhupada says it like this. This is very striking purport in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. How it is that Krishna takes charge, he says. Due to the contamination of material association through many, many millions of births, one's heart is always covered with the dust of materialism, but when one engages in devotional service and constantly chants Hare Krishna, the dust quickly clears and one is elevated to the platform of pure knowledge. The ultimate goal, Vishnu, can be attained only by this chant and by devotional service and not by mental speculation or argument. The pure devotee does not have to worry about the material necessities of life. He need not be anxious, because when he removes the darkness from his heart, everything is provided automatically by the Supreme Lord, who is pleased by the loving devotional service of the devotee. This is the essence of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Mahasuchaha, right? It's from that verse, what he's saying. By studying Bhagavad Gita, one can become a soul completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord and engage himself in pure devotional service. As the Lord takes charge, one becomes completely free from all kinds of materialistic endeavors. So this is what happens. Surrender to Krishna, and Krishna takes charge. He takes charge of one's life. And he says, you don't have to worry about your interests. I'll take care of your interests for you. It's like in the United States now, when men join government, they put all their interests, their financial affairs, into a blind trust. The idea is, of course, so that they won't work in such a way in the government to financially benefit themselves. So they put all their interests into a blind trust. I'm sure they very carefully choose people of sagacity and foresight to manage their financial affairs, but they just turn it over, this blind trust. So similarly, Krishna is saying, I'll take care of you. You don't have to worry about your material well-being or your career or your prospects or what shall become of your life. You just surrender to me fully and follow my order without deviation. And I'll take care of everything else for you. I'll become your financial manager, your career guide, your publicity agent, your whatever it is that you need, your lawyer, your whatever. I'll be that for you. Don't worry. I'll take care of you. This is his promise. And we should know by the time we come to this promise in the Bhagavad Gita, right? And he says it, Mahasuchaha, don't worry. And by the time we come to this promise, by the end of the Bhagavad Gita, we should be completely convinced that if anybody can discharge this promise, it's Krishna, because he's controlling everything. So he's in a position to do this, to execute this promise, and we should therefore follow. So by doing in this way, we become free from materialistic endeavor, and we become more and more able to take dictation from the Lord. The less we are being dictated to by lust and greed and anger, the more we are being dictated to by Krishna. Automatically it follows. Automatically. Like this. So if our sole effort is to serve Krishna undeviatingly, then Krishna teaches us how to do this in whatever capacity we happen to be serving, so that we advance more and more in our service under his care and direction. What we have to do is take the spiritual master, take his order as our life and soul, and execute this fully, become the servant of that. As said in the last verse, this is Vani Seva. And if we have done that, it says here that when the spiritual master disappears, it says, when she's being perplexed what to do in his absence, at such a time the Supersoul immediately appears, provided the devotee is purified in heart by following the directions of the spiritual master. So that's the first thing. One has the spiritual master. And Prabhupada said that meeting the spiritual master is tantamount to meeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one becomes serious to follow the mission of the spiritual master, when one becomes serious to follow the mission of the spiritual master, his resolution, so Prabhupada says it very accurately here, it's not just meeting the spiritual master, but one becomes serious to follow the mission of the spiritual master. This seriousness is called Vyavasa Atmika Buddhi. When one develops this resolution to follow the spiritual master, his resolution is tantamount to seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that resolution is also called Vani Seva. So when that's there, then there's guidance directly from Supersoul, because by following the order in this way, one becomes pure in heart. And you can hear what Krishna wants. You can know what Krishna wants. If, however, I have ulterior motives or other aims, that is, I'm doing some devotional service, but at the same time, and to the extent that I'm protecting, or my interest is in protecting or maintaining or expanding some sense gratification, then I won't be able to hear what Krishna wants. Then, to that extent, my actions will be dictated by something else, and I won't be able to get instructions from Krishna. I won't be, because his instructions, the internal potency, are always instructions how to surrender to me. But if my aim is some sense gratification, then I do not want to hear those instructions. I'm blocking them out. And so if my aim is actually, so long as I'm interested in sense gratification. And notice here, let me make something clear. We don't have to feel so bad if we still have desires for sense gratification in our heart. That's understandable. But what we should be clear about is that we should want to remove those desires. That's when we become sincere and serious devotees. Those desires may be very deep-rooted. I can understand that it may be a long time for me to get rid of those desires. But I should have that resolute determination. Yes, I am going, by performing devotional service, I want these desires to go away, and I should be praying to Krishna to remove these desires from my heart. Then when that is there, that we advance in spiritual life, not to make some accommodation. And if that is there, that prayer is there to Krishna, please remove these desires. And we don't act on them. So as far as possible, of course, they're there. Sometimes we get mugged while we're being inattentive. But we don't try to act on those desires, but rather we try to act strictly following the order of the spiritual master. Then they'll go away. So this way, we'll be helped by Krishna, we'll make progress in this way, and we'll receive direction from Krishna, how to advance in Krishna consciousness, how to carry on the mission of the spiritual master. We have got our order from the spiritual master. Now, how do I execute that? That requires so much intelligence. So that intelligence will come in this way. So the facility is there, externally and internally, how to become Krishna conscious and carry on the mission of the Lord. So we should take advantage of this instruction here. It's marvelous how Prabhupada tells us everything we need to know. I mean, there just should be no question in our mind what we're supposed to do. So then all we have to do is have the sincere and serious resolve. And in this way, there'll be no problems. I just read in the letter yesterday, at lunchtime, Prabhupada said that all problems within this Hare Krishna movement are caused by failure to follow the order of the spiritual master. There it is. So this is our program. We follow that order very, very strictly. And by doing so, we become purified. As we become purified, we receive more and more direct help also from the super soul. The super soul is not in the business of misdirecting us. He's always trying to help us. He's our friend, just like this brahmana. And so when there's renunciation, even like this, we become so distressed. So there's some renunciation, there's some willingness to become free from sense gratification. Then he's there to ask us questions here in whatever distress is there. I am your eternal friend. You may remember that many times in the past you have consulted me. So again, the consultation is available. So all we have to do is take it. You can't say there's lack of facility. The Prabhupada said, I have given you everything. So we have all facility. We're going back to Godhead, and nothing is missing. All we have to do is take advantage of that facility. That's up to us. Any questions? Ramana? Well, it doesn't mean that Krishna just drops money in your lap. Always Krishna becomes your financial manager. God helps those who help themselves. But what does help yourself mean? It doesn't mean help yourself satisfy your material desires. It means help yourself become more Krishna conscious. So what's your process of Krishna consciousness, or what your process of surrender is, that depends on your situation in life, whether you're a married man or not a married man, whether you have children, you don't have children, whether your service is this or whether your service is that. So we are in different circumstances under which we have to surrender to Krishna. But our effort, the point is that our effort has to be always. What does this mean that Krishna takes care of us? That I lie back like some bloated toad and just receive and receive and receive? Is that satata yuktanam? No. This means I'm actively engaged in devotional service all the time. That's what it means. So if I'm thinking that, yes, I'm a devotee now, my worries are over, Krishna is now going to take care of me, that's not pretty purvakam. I mean, that's not devotional service. So the point is that we want to be released from all worries in order to serve Krishna 24 hours a day, unstintingly. And Krishna is saying, yes, I'll do that for you. If you're doing business and you're a businessman, it doesn't mean that you have to quit your business any more than it meant that Arjuna had to walk off the battlefield of Kurukshetra. No, what is he saying? Stay in your position, but don't worry. You don't have to worry. So it wasn't that Arjuna had to no longer think about, do I go to the left flank or the right flank? He had to deal with that. But Krishna was saying, you go here, you go there. He was guiding his judgment in his direction. So this is a misconception. If it's thought that when Krishna says, surrender to me, that all of a sudden I now can become a parasite. No. Surrender to Krishna means I use my life energy 24 hours a day to serve Krishna. That's what it is, in the capacity that Krishna wants. And according to that capacity, however it may be, but if it's my responsibility to take care of wife and children, then naturally I have to work as according to the arrangement is there as grihastha ashram. How do I do that? According to whether I'm acting as Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmana, and follow the rules and regulations of that ashram. That Krishna also endorses throughout the Bhagavad Gita. Right? Krishna says there's two kinds of people. There's the people who are still under the control of material nature, and those are people who are liberated. But both of them follow the rules and regulations. The one's because they have to, and the other's because they have to set the example. So this has to be done. But you find that I have to surrender to Krishna, but out of surrender to Krishna, there's some anxiety. Well, what if I surrender to Krishna like Arjuna? Well, if I surrender to Krishna, will I go to hell? For killing my teacher? Well, these are the worries. Krishna is saying, no, don't worry. Look, this is the battle. I want it to take place. It's here by my arrangement. You just be the instrument. Mm-hmm. So at this point, the devotee should see what is Krishna's arrangement, and he should follow it without any worry whatsoever. So in the same way, that for that reason, there's courage. Because sometimes it requires. Surrender to Krishna means you put yourself out on a limb sometimes. Just like Srila Prabhupada came to America. That was putting himself out on a limb. He had no visible means of support. So especially if you want to be bold and preach Krishna consciousness and carry out the order of the spiritual master, you have to sometimes put yourself out on a limb. But you should do so with intelligence. Anyway, the pure devotee does not have to worry about the material necessities of life. He need not be anxious. So much anxiety is there. You may have to support your family. That may be your duty. It doesn't mean all of a sudden you're going to join the big welfare system in the sky or something. And stop doing everything. No. But you need not be anxious. Because when he removes the darkness from his heart, that's what we have to do, is remove the darkness from our heart. Everything is provided automatically by the Supreme Lord, who is pleased with the loving devotional service of the devotee. So this is natural when the devotee more and more falls in love with Krishna and thinks of Krishna always, that Krishna gives him the facility to do that, so he doesn't have to be distracted by other things. Okay, is that satisfied this one?